Track 29. The Mother of Priests
and the Woman,
the co-redemptrix who overcomes pain, crushes Satan, and is the bridge between heaven and earth.
Maria Valtorta writes about the priestly souls loved by Mary. As a complement to all my suffering, I distinctly see Mary Most Holy entirely dressed in black. She is moving with a face of limitless sadness, as if through a garden. There are flowers and paths. I see nothing else. Our Lady is bending to pick flowers. To explain better, a hurricane seems to have fallen upon that place, for the grass and flowers are partly broken and partly bent into the mud on the path. Mary gathers the broken ones and kisses them, and she pushes aside the bent ones into the mud, but does not pick them, and she is crying. She replies to a mental question of mine. These are the souls of priests, against whom the world and Satan have raged and are raging, particularly in these times. The broken ones are those slain by the hatred of the world. They are the martyrs of this century. I gather them and take them to heaven, because I am the mother of the priesthood, and I take my sons out of the horror into the light, which they have merited. I gather them into my mantle to pour out this holy carpet of flowers at the foot of God's throne. The others are the priests who have let themselves be bent for the sake of human utility or quietism. They have lost the temper which the priestly character infused into them and have become pliant to human winds, to the point of staining their florid silk with the mire of the earth. I weep over the pain of the former and the error of the latter. My weeping over the former changes into eternal pearls destined for their crowns. Over the latter it is only pain, which would like to save them and cannot, unless first it is they who weep over themselves. It is the greatest sorrow of my sorrows as the universal mother, and over her children who offend my firstborn, who died to give life to all my children. In these days in which my rejoicing as the mother of God is renewed, the world manages to change my robe of snow-white joy into a robe of mourning by killing my priests or their souls. It is a twofold death without hope. Pray and suffer to help the martyrs and save the blameworthy. During a separate dictation, Mary says, "To save a soul is to predestine one's own soul to heaven, but to save the soul of a priest is to save a large number of souls, because every holy priest is a net that drags souls to God." Jesus speaks to Maria of Mary's crown of pain. He says, "Did I perhaps offend charity towards my mother by doing the whole will of my father? No. In all truth, I made her, the Immaculate One, the co-redemptrix. I place this second glorious crown, which she would otherwise not have had, on her head. Nor did she refuse to wear it, though it was a crown of boundless pain. Look at us. I was the son who did not deny his most holy mother, but set the will of God before her, because that will must hold precedence over other loves, wills, and human rights, even the holiest ones. And look at her, the mother, who did not keep her son from doing the will for which he had taken on flesh. Robe your heart in our heroism and act with true charity. Jesus speaks further to Maria Valtorta of his mother. He says, "Through Mary, mother of the Redeemer, God has worked the salvation of the human race. But she was not superior to pain. And great, huge, sovereign and absolute pain penetrated into her with the violence of a meteorite plunging from the sky, at the very moment she experienced the ecstasy of the embrace with the Creator Spirit. Blessedness and pain held Mary's heart in a single knot at the instant of her most holy fiat and her most chaste marriage. Blessedness and pain fused into one as she had become one with God. Since she was called to a mission as co-redemptrix, pain surpassed blessedness from the very start. Blessedness came at her assumption. For the sake of the pain which tortured my mother on your behalf, I would like you to give her love. Great, most tender love, that of children for the most perfect of all mothers. She is the mother who has still not ceased to suffer, shedding heavenly tears over the children of her love who repudiate their father's house. Mary was the co-redemptrix, and the mission of a Redeemer is always a mission of infinite pain. Otherwise, how could a Redeemer pay the ransom for the sins of others, or redeem his brothers and sisters as a victim? Mary was a Redeemer, as I was the Redeemer. It was right then that pain should be her companion. Always consider that she is the master of pain, as I am the master of life. Always consider that pain is real, absolute, only when God is no longer close to a spirit to support it in trial. And consider that Mary was alone in the tremendous hour to know the horror of solitude and to expiate your acts of desperation as creatures. She is hope in addition to faith and charity. She was an abyss of hope, and I have thus set her as your star to show you the way to heaven. If you believe in her always, you will never know the horror of despair and will not kill yourselves with despair. May Mary, the hope of God who awaited her to accomplish man's redemption, be man's hope. O mortals, do not lose sight of the morning star, whose rays are made of the seven swords driven into her most sweet and pure heart, driven in out of love for you. Live in her, and die in the Holy One, who is the Mother of God, and who prays for you without wearying before our throne. Mary, who fell asleep on God's heart, now lives in heaven with her glorified flesh. The soul that falls asleep upon the heart of Mary will have its flesh glorified in heaven when the time is fulfilled, for she is your salvation. And don't think that Mary was spared from temptation, for two reasons. The first, Mary was the one without stain, but still a creature, whereas I was God. The second, It was more important for Lucifer to corrupt the womb of the woman who would bear the Christ than to attack Christ himself. He, the crafty one, knew that the Word would be made flesh by a fusion of spirit to spirit in a womb wherein no sin was harboured. I repeat, no sin. If, from Eve on, he had led all women into temptation, he was sure he would never be defeated by the eternal victor. One woman alone always resisted him, Mary. During a joyful vision of Mary, two archangels appeared to Maria Valtorta. This is what Maria wrote. Firstly, there appeared the Archangel Michael, always very imposing. I would say frighteningly handsome, with his blazing sword in his right hand. The Archangel pointed to Our Lady, thoroughly lovely in her virginal humility, and cried out, "Set the woman that is Mary against the great serpent that is advancing." What a powerful voice! It shook the atmosphere like the sound of a harmonious thunderclap. Our Lady lowered her head, looking at the earth with boundless compassion. The Archangel cried out powerfully three times and was very severe and imperious. After the third cry and a pause following it, he prostrated himself before Mary, venerating her by saying, "You alone are a defence. You alone are victorious. You alone are the hope of salvation against satanic venom. Mother of the one who is without equal, I greet you, my queen." He was still prostrate when the Archangel Saint Gabriel came. He flew around Mary, incensing her with his thurible and saying, "Hail Mary, Queen of the angels, salvation of men, love of the triune God. After God, who is like you, Mary, hail. Most glorious Queen in heaven, medicine for all the illnesses killing spirits and extinguishing faith, hope and charity in men, hail Mary." The Holy Spirit, in a dictation to Maria Valtorta, says, "In chapter 9 of Genesis it is said, 'I will set my rainbow in the clouds, and it shall be the sign of a covenant between me and the earth.' Rainbow, sign of peace. Rainbow, bridge between heaven and earth. Mary is the peaceful bridge joining heaven and earth, the most beloved one who obtains mercy for sinners with her soul presence. With the growth of sins and the increasing of storm clouds of divine wrath and satanic fumes, Mary is always the one who scatters the clouds and disarms the lightning. She builds her mystical bridge for humanity who has fallen into the abyss, so that it can rise up sweetly towards its good. It is said, 'I will set my rainbow amongst the clouds, and I will remember my covenant.' Oh, truly, the rainbow of peace, the co-redemptrix, is amongst the clouds, above the clouds. She is the sweet star that shines in the presence of God, in order to remind him that he has promised mercy to men and has given his Son so that men may have forgiveness. After the flood, the rainbow was seen by only the few just ones who had remained alive on earth. In the present hour, instead, Mary, the rainbow, the sign of peace for a superabounding of mercy, will be seen by many who are not just. Her voice, her perfume, and her prodigies will be noticed by the just and by sinners. And as the wrath of God is not unleashed because of the rainbow of God, Blessed are those amongst these last ones who will turn to justice and to faith in Jesus, in whom is salvation. In a separate dictation, the Holy Spirit speaks of Mary in a time of darkness which covers the earth. He says, "Already there is an outline of a dawn, none sweeter than you. It is the time of Mary that rises, the utmost mercy that our love has thought for you all. Great will be the length of her walk, opposed by her eternal enemy, who on account of having been defeated, Satan is no less obstinate in grieving her and in fighting against her. He dulls the intellects of men so as not to let them know Mary. He extinguishes the faith of men in her. He creates fogs. He throws mud. However, the star of the sea is too far above the polluted waves. She will only descend as swiftly as an archangel to put her seal next to the mark of the tower upon the foreheads of the faithful, the foreheads of those saved for the eternal kingdom. And strength and peace will enter into their spirits under the touch of her hand. For she is mother of life and fountain of salvation." Jesus says to Maria, "If it were not for the care of Mary, for the prayers of Mary, the human race would no longer exist. I would have annulled it. For your way of life has truly touched the depths of evil. Justice is wounded, patience has passed all limits, and punishment is at the ready. But Mary is there, sheltering you under her mantle. And if, with a mere gaze, I can bring paradise to its knees and make the stars tremble, I can do nothing against my mother. To punish you would mean giving the mother of the human race, the true mother, a stabbing pain. For she always hopes. She can lead you to her son. To those in the world who still believe, I say, the salvation of the world is in Mary. If you knew how God is withdrawing into the depths, you would tremble. Previously it was I that was the bridge between the world and heaven. But truly, in the face of your obstinacy in evil, the Christ is withdrawing. He is leaving you to your evil. Now, Mary is the only bridge left. But if you disdain her too, you shall be crushed. I do not allow the woman upon whom the Holy Spirit descended to conceive me to be disparaged." And Maria Valtorta writes a personal observation. "If it is true that before the end of time, more and more false prophets, servants of the Antichrist, will arise, it is equally true that Christ the Lord will set more and more of his servants against them, raising up new apostles in the places where they are least expected. Infinite mercy, taking pity on distressed men, overwhelmed by the storm of blood, fire, persecution and death, will have Mary, the pure star of the sea, shine upon the sea of blood and horror. She will be the forerunner of Christ in his final coming, and these new evangelizers will bear the gospel of Mary. She was truly left in the shadow by all the evangelists, whereas vaster knowledge of her would have instructed many, preventing many falls. For she is the co-redemptrix and teacher, the teacher of pure, humble, faithful, prudent and devout life. She is always a teacher, down through the centuries. and she is worthy to be all the better known the more the world sinks towards the mire and darkness, so as to be all the more imitated in order to lead the world back to what is not darkness and mire. The times ahead will be times of war, not only materially, but above all, between materiality and spirit. The Antichrist will seek to drag rational creatures into the swamp of beastly life. Christ will seek to prevent this repudiation, not only of religion, but also of reason, by opening up new horizons and ways illuminated by spiritual lights, prompting a powerful awakening of the Spirit in whoever does not openly reject it. It will be an awakening assisted by these new evangelizers, bearing not only Christ, but the Mother of God. They will uplift the standard of Mary. They will lead people to Mary, for she is the holy adversary of the wicked enemy, and her heel is destined to crush the infernal dragon perpetually, just as wisdom, which has found its seat in her, is destined to defeat the heresies corrupting souls and intellects.